Welcome to Keto Happiness with me, Rob Saunders. This is show number 4, and our guest today is Charles Hiller. I started my keto lifestyle back in March 2018, and subsequently I have lost 4.5 stone. Now it works for me. It may not work for you, but perhaps give it a go. Follow the advice. Now this is an educational show. I don't give out advice. I hark on people who are experts in the field and medical professionals. So I will guide people to the right places on the internet, on other podcasts, my favourites at the moment are The Two Keto Dudes, Living La Vida Low Carb, and websites like DietDoctor.com, and some of the books out there that I started with, including Keto Clarity by Jimmy Moore, Wheat Belly by William Davis, and many, many more. But we're back in a couple of seconds with our guest today, Charles Hiller. Hi, you're back with me, Rob Saunders, on the Keto Happiness website, and joining us today is Charles Hiller. Hello, Charles.
Hi, Rob. How you doing?
I'm very well. And where are you? Where are you at the moment?
I'm in New Jersey, United States.
Fantastic. I was over in New York last July, actually. Yeah.
Okay. The city or some other part of the state?
No, the city. We were staying over up in Massachusetts, and we did a Greyhound bus. So I wanted to do all the experiences, and we took a Greyhound from New England to New York, did a show, did all the tourist things like that, and managed to keep keto as well.
Very nice. Yeah, I'm probably about 40 kilometers west of the city.
Okay, brilliant. Brilliant. As I say, it's did all the Red Bus tours and everything like that. So, but we digress. Now I'm going to do a little bit of an introduction to Charles. Just before, I forgot to mention in my intro, this is for educational purposes only. And if you are embarking on a change of lifestyle diet, please consult your doctor or physician. Now back to Charles. Charles Hiller, I'm pronouncing your surname right, aren't I, Charles?
Yes, sir.
Charles Hiller started his health and wellness journey as a certified massage therapist, graduating from the Institute of Therapeutic Massage in 2010. His passion and drive led him towards health and wellness coaching, where he became a certified ketogenic lifestyle coach, primal restoration specialist, and trained with the Noakes Foundation Nutrition Network in low-carb, high-fat, ketogenic nutrition and treatment. He specializes in helping those people with lifelong weight issues and those who've struggled to succeed to manage weight with customary nutritional guidelines. He has additional certifications in cognitive behavior therapy, CBT to you and me, which has found useful to help his clients understand the connection between their thoughts and behaviors to be successful. That's what we like to hear on Keto Happiness, because it's not just about the diet either. And his coaching is firmly based in understanding relationships with food and determining best practices in overcoming those obstacles. Charles has personally seen success since starting his journey in 2015. He has alleviated his symptoms of depression, positively impacted his health markers, and experienced substantial weight loss through a strict ketogenic lifestyle. He often speaks of increased energy levels and mental clarity that is attributed to the ketogenic lifestyle. Charles has a passion for information and actively stays on top of current research and information within the low-carb, high-fat, ketogenic community. Right, that's me done. Over to you, Charles. How did it all start?
How did it all start? It actually started with a layoff from a job in 2012 that led to incredible amounts of stress binge eating Probably put on about 85 pounds in 7-8 months. I've always been overweight as an adult. I was overweight as a child. The only time in my life that I really wasn't overweight was the years that I did in the military when I was in the Navy.
Sure. Yeah.
So I've always had that struggle. But that's kind of what really kicked it all off, is that I had gotten so big and my health was really falling, and I'd had a scare where I thought I was having a heart attack, and I ended up in a hospital for a week, and they ran every test that you could imagine, and they couldn't find anything wrong. So it was all just kind of stress and those type of things that were inducing that issue.
Sure.
And I've seen all the diets. I've tried all the diets. I've had temporary success with them. And at that time, I had started with a program called Precision Nutrition with Dr. John Berdurdy's group out of Canada. And it was a year-long process where you had to log in to a website daily, and they had training and notifications and things you went over with, and you worked with a one of their coaches on a regular basis, and there was accountability with it. And at the end of that year, I had, I want to say I dropped maybe 50 pounds. It was a substantial amount of weight, but I found that once I left and I didn't have that accountability of a weekly call in and a weekly and the daily check-ins, that it wasn't sustainable for me.
Okay.
It was a process based on whole natural foods, but it did allow for a lot of grains and some of the more starchier vegetables that I just weren't working for me.
Okay.
So I started looking elsewhere for other things. At that time, I had come across two different things: Mark Sisson's group with Mark's Daily Apple and his books on the Primal Blueprint. I had come across those, and another doctor named Bruce Fife, who's very big into coconut research and science and health.
Yep.
And he had a book called the, I think it was the Coconut Ketogenic Diet.
Sure.
So between those two, I kind of started experimenting and finding what worked with me and that type of stuff. I had previously had an experience with intermittent fasting back from my massage school days, and that worked, but I had never done it on a keto type of thing. So that kind of came back into the field again, because you started seeing about all this stuff with intermittent fasting, extended fasting. It's like, well, I'm really familiar with that. And the book at the time I had read was Brad Pilon's Stop, Eat, Stop, or Eat, Stop, Eat, one or the other. Very, very simple book, but it really got you into that. So between that and the relationships that I had learned on what I had had with food with the PN program really helped me. That's what I really noticed about the best thing I took away from that program, was I learned why I was eating.
Sure.
I learned, am I hungry? Am I bored? Am I depressed? Is it a social issue? And ever since, most of my adult, I've had issues with seasonal depression, not necessarily panic attacks, but I would have anxiety issues,
yeah.
And I was prone to anger very quickly, those type of things. So I noticed that once I started getting the grains and the sugars out of my diet, that stuff kind of subsided and went away.
Sure. In fact, it was something that on show two, Carrie Brown came on and specifically talking about her bipolar 2 disorder. And obviously that's a very severe type of depression and an imbalance, and once she cut out all the rubbish and adopted that, she was quite reluctant to come off her medication, but in the end she's gone, I think, 4 or 5 years now without any prescription drugs for her bipolar. So am I right, that's the sort of thing that you're going on about?
Yeah, I never actually did medication for my depression. There's a big stigma around that, and I just wasn't in a place mentally or even mature levels that I could deal with that kind of stigma and that went around and that fear of being judged. But I know Carrie's had an amazing results and stuff like that. And there's a couple other clinicians out there and researchers that talk about the gut health and the grains and the sugars and impacting those type of things. Noriga Goddess, Primal Restoration, Primal Body, she's got a lot of work out there and a lot of good information and some good books on it. And then Dr. Georgia Eads also has done some amazing lectures, and she takes it a step further and actually talks about how plants are trying to kill you. and she really endorses a strict carnivore diet, and her research has been with children and different mental disorders and ADHD and different parts of the spectrum with the autism, and being able to show some really good results on getting low carb, high fat, and then even further getting them off of plants in general. So there's definitely going to be a lot of amazing things coming out as more research is done into these different aspects over the next few years.
That's brilliant. And what I'm trying to do for the UK and Irish market over here is make people aware that there is help out there. And you really do need to go above and beyond your doctor and things like that to find out, to do the research, really, because there's a lot of good people out there that are interpreting science into layman's terms, into language that myself can let people know this is out there, and this means, and you know, when we've got a lot of the press is very sensationalist over here, so we hear of a headline that'll come up, say last week, that'll, you know, eating red meat will suddenly cause you cancer, or you know, the high fat diets and things like that are not for you. And a lot of these people dispel the myths by going into the research behind it and saying, yeah, this research, some of the points are good, but it's actually based on a survey over 20 years that people were asked once every 5 years to complete. So I don't know what I ate on July the 7th, 2004, that type of thing. So yeah. Again, it's just research. And I've just started with the Key to Happiness project. I've just started to go into more depth. Now, I'm not an academic person, but I'm getting some of the science now behind it. And it's not just people say, oh, you're on keto, it's Atkins on speed, or you know, it's or Atkins on steroids. I've got now an answer for these things, and also people have seen obviously drastic weight loss. You know, I love to take the compliments, but what I try to do is, you know, if you need any advice, come and see me, or I know a man who can help, or read this, read that, the other.
Right.
Whereas at the beginning, I had severe weight loss, a really good weight loss. I felt brilliant, but I tended to be a bit more evangelical about it, and I think I bored people a lot.
That happens. I have always been in the mindset where I kind of wanted to lead people to get the information on themselves so they can make their own decisions.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of great information out there, but on the same side of it, there's a lot of bad information. So when you're looking at sensationalism in media and companies that are trying to change their marketing strategy so that they're still going to make money on people doing this in the future, you really need to look at the research. And the way my brain works and my background is I can kind of look at the research papers and I can see, is it a good study? Was it designed properly? Did it run for the right type of length? Who's paying for it? These type of things. And you can kind of get through the not so good stuff in there and discard the bad ones. And like you said, there are so many avenues out there now to get good quality information. And that's the good and the bad about the ketogenic diet, low carb, high fat, is that there's so many different variations that a person can take to get into a ketotic state. Yeah. So it's not one size fits all. Yes, there's some definite markers that they say you need to do this, you need to do that. That is a baseline to get people started. And it really is Atkins phase one, if you're familiar with Atkins.
Sure.
Right. So, and it's that keeping the total carbs under 20, and that gets you started. And then it's a matter of tweaking and finding out what really works for you. But depending upon the researchers, is there's population out there that's working with performance athletes. There's populations out there working with ultra distance marathon runners. There's people out there working with diabetics type 1, type 2 that are already having kidneys shut down and all these other failures. So the population is so different. To come out and say this is one size fits all doesn't really hold true. So you really need to kind of know where you're at, know your baseline, and pursue the research that others are doing that fits your model to really be successful with it.
You're right there, Charles, because I always mention it, this is working for me. It may not work for you, but people like yourself, and people can come to you, whether it be physical or virtual, and you can, am I right, you can set up a program specific to their needs, their physiology, their medical state at the time, and even program in some sort of physical exercise. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yep. And that's kind of the way I started. Is I do a standard in-doc shape. I want to know physical history, mental history. I want to know what kind of medications they're on. And I don't want it to know, especially if they're diabetics, how they're working with their doctors. And that's kind of that working with the doctors is kind of key there, because too many people have relied on their medical professionals to dictate to them what to do.
Sure.
And your doctor needs to be a partner. I need to be informed. I need to come to my doctor and I need to say, this is what I want to go. How can you help me? Not just give me information. I'm going to run with it and do what you said. And we kind of need to get that shift going too.
Yeah.
And that's where, once again, it comes into, if you've got the research, you've got a lot of the studies, you can have a quick bullet point when you go and talk to your doctor and say, hey, I've read this. I've seen this, this, and this. This is what I'm going to try. I need you to help support me. Not, I need you to tell me what to do. And that's kind of, we need that shift in how we're dealing with the medical community.
Sure.
At the end of the day, many, many people say it, and doctors themselves, they don't have a lot of experience in nutrition.
So yeah, that's right. That's why I try and guide people to the right places, because I'm not an expert, but I'm just trying to spread the love.
and that's really what it comes down to. And that's kind of how I got into the coaching, is because I was really just giving people places to go for information. And I was involved with a local out of New Jersey Facebook group, support group for starters and beginners. And I kind of noticed that there's still a large population of people that don't necessarily have the time, the energy, or the higher level ability to really cut through the research and the papers and determine what's good. And they really want somebody just to break it down to easy terms for them and make them easy. And it was a few of the people that were actually in this group that kind of pushed me and said, hey, you're doing so much here for everybody. You need to start coaching. And that's kind of when I went down that path. And yes, I can take somebody and I can have that initial intake with them. And I do a phone call with them, and I go over the basics, and I just get them started with very, very high level, simple things. And then after somebody's been doing it for 2 or 3 weeks, then we can kind of tweak them and we can kind of make small adjustments and see what works for them for that N=1 type of experiment. And that's really what I've done the best. And I've got amazing amounts of information and articles for people that want to do it. And I've also got the other side of just tell me what to do. So I can actually handle that whole gamut. I usually don't actually, you had mentioned fitness. I usually discourage people from getting involved in a physical fitness program that's going to put a lot of stress on their body unless they're already doing it. If they're already doing it and they're already active and already lifting weights, that's great. We can work on that. But we don't want to stress the body in too many ways to begin with at once.
Okay.
And when you change your diet drastically, the way low carb, high fat does, it's really a lot of stress. There's a lot of inflammation that's going to be shed. Your body's getting mixed up. It's got to figure out, oh my God, I don't have the glucose for my fuel source anymore. Where am I going to find it? Oh yeah, we've got fat, and try to get those pathways going again. So the body's changing and adapting. So I don't want to add extra stress of now breaking down old tissue and putting on new muscle and that type of stuff with that also.
Sure.
So I always encourage people to get out there and walk for 20, 30 minutes a day and be not be sedentary, but I don't put a lot of stress on it unless somebody's already in that state. But no, when somebody gets to the point where they're like, hey, I've got all this extra energy, that's when I know that, hey, their body's ready to start doing some of these other adaptive things. And I'll either come up with some very, very basic workouts for them. And I usually start with body weight workouts. I want somebody to be able to move their own weight before they start lifting other weights.
Yeah.
Cardio, I've got a little bit different take on cardio. I do it all based on heart rate. So usually the formula is 180 minus your age, and I like to use a chest heart rate monitor, and I'll have the person target that number plus or minus 2 or 3 beats for 20 minutes a day just to start.
Sure.
And what that's doing is it's getting them to be able to work more efficiently at that range. So they have to adjust their speed or their resistance to maintain that rate. And you'll find over time that they're doing a lot further distances at better speeds, but still maintaining that that same rate. So
yeah, you're right. You're right there with the energy that when I got all this energy, I had to do something. I do go to the gym, but mainly do weights and cardio. But main reason why it gives me an hour to listen to all these great podcasts as well. So I don't treat it as a punishment. But on the when I first started out and I thought I want to get more flexible, I discovered again an old friend in the supermarket. I bumped into and I said, "God, you look great. What are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I'm doing yoga." I said, "Okay, but you know, it's because yoga." And he's quite a big guy and quite muscly and things like that. And I said, I wouldn't assume, I don't want to assume too much, that you would be a yoga fanatic. Well, it's a different kind of yoga. He discovered something called DDPY, which is...
I was just going to mention that. Yeah. I love that program. I've done that myself. I still do it. And yeah. I push everybody I know over to that site.
Because I've got the app on the iPad, and also I've got the heart rate monitor, because it does right. monitor you that. I actually last year met the guy. I met Diamond Dallas Page, who controlled, and I've just finished his new book called Positively Unstoppable, which again bigs up the keto diet and paleo and things like that as right. another alternative. But basically he's gone a bit Jimmy Moore in terms of it's real food, but if it works for, you know, somebody like them, and he's quite an inspiring for young people as well. So and it just gets that stigma off. He doesn't really call it yoga, it's more calisthenics and movement and things like that. But he's got various things, and my flexibility now is amazing. And my wife joins me. We do it outside on the deck when it's sunny, mm-hmm. that type of thing. It doesn't take itself too seriously, but it puts your head in the right place. And there's a lot of positive affirmations that he comes up with. Some a little bit cheesy, but honestly, I love the guy, and he's sort of taken us through this transition of losing weight and how to tone this weight that I've lost up down.
Yeah, he's definitely a good motivational speaker. The program I had from him probably is 5 or 6 years old, so his diet principles were a little bit different back then. He had 3 different phases to the diet, and you got cleaner the more strict you went, but it wasn't necessarily low carb, high fat. So yeah. I'm glad to hear that he's kind of switched that type off. And I know when he originally, his first program before it became DDP, I think it was something called like Not Your Mama's Yoga.
That's
or
right,
Not Your
yeah.
Mother's
yeah.
Yoga or
yeah.
something like that. But no, he's definitely worth a listen and investigation. His programs are amazing. The transformation stories on his webpage are amazing also.
And it's for everybody as well. So you can do it sitting down if you're, you know, really clinically obese and mm-hmm. you want to change your life. He does everything from the chair to start up right up into standing on your head. That's how extreme it is.
And he's also got programs out there to train you to be an instructor for his program, with a whole network and support yeah. for that too, which is actually something that's on my bucket list within the next couple of years as I expand
Funny enough,
my practice.
It's on mine as well. And there's a couple of DDP yoga instructors over here in the UK now. And I follow them, and they always try and say, "Well, you're nearly at the 100 hours now, Rob. Why don't you, become a bit of an instructor?" And I thought, right. I might tick that one off. But interesting, Charles. When I was reading your biog, and this is another book because I engross myself in the knowledge that you've worked with the Noakes Foundation, and obviously with the there was a obviously controversy with Tim Noakes, but more importantly, how athletes and people like that can fuel their body rather than just carb load, like that's the old phrase. Because I'm training for a half marathon for April, and I haven't run for years and years. I'm training, and I'm getting there, but to be fueled by my own body fat, it just intrigues me.
Well, you'll notice you'll be able to go forever. I've played judo on and off for years. And basically with judo, you've got the stand-up part of it, and then you've got the part once you've actually thrown somebody the game and you need to go into the grappling side of it to get the points for the win.
Yep.
And it was always an issue for me that if I didn't get the points on the throw and we went to the ground, I was done in 30 seconds. Yeah. I just did not have the gas. I didn't have the energy. The stamina wasn't there. And whereas my ground game is still far from where it needs to be, I just don't get a chance to play as often as I would like to.
Sure.
I have the energy now, and I can get on my back, and I can roll, and I can fend people off, and I have so much more mental clarity because now I'm not stressing about I can't breathe, and I'm running out of energy, and I'm not getting obsessed with that clock, and oh my God, I'm going to get tapped out, I'm going to get choked out, whatever, because I can actually take the time now and go, I've got plenty of energy, and I can start thinking and looking ahead and seeing and setting things up. Completely changed my game.
Fantastic. Yeah, and I say I'm thinking of doing new things or be having the confidence to do new things, you know, even things like swimming, because I was very self-conscious with the way I looked. And now I'm quite confident to get in my shorts and do some, you know, whatever. And again, it's the confidence boost. And again, back to your introduction, the brain fog, that's suddenly gone. And I say I can't endorse this sort of way of eating or way of lifestyle even to anybody. But I thought I'd just give it a try. You know, if you go off the rails, you go off the rails. You can just jump back on the wagon whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Meisner, last show, he was saying he does more seasonal ketosis. So he eats seasonal vegetables and meat and things like that. But also the Super Bowl was last Sunday. So he will go out and have a beer with his friends. He'll tailgate and whatever that you do over there. And then he knows that he can just click back in, and within a week or so, he's back in nutritional ketosis.
Right. And that's the benefit. Once you've actually become what they call fat adapted and your body starts looking for fat as its primary source of fuel instead of glucose for those high, quick energy bursts, kind of like switching from gasoline to diesel and back and forth, right?
Yep, yep.
And once the body knows where it's there, you can have those you can have those one-offs, you could have those celebrations and try those different foods, and you'll bounce back a lot quicker.
Sure.
And that's kind of where my other part of it comes around to is it's fine if you have that and it's planned, because I hate to get into this I cheated thing, because that's just a horrible mindset to get into. But fine, you planned for it, you had it, you enjoyed it. Now, are you in a situation where you can actually just go back to eating the way you were and your body prefers? Or is now it going to be you just woke up a monkey on your back and you've got an addiction you got to fight again?
Yeah, right? Sure.
Sugar is an addiction. There's no doubt about it. It fires all of the happy places in your brain and it will latch on, and it's very hard to come back from. More so than breaking a heroin addiction or even a cigarette addiction. They say sugar is one of the worst, and they get us on it so early in age, so it really wires you.
And it's hidden as well.
Yeah. So I've managed to break nicotine without a problem. I did it cold turkey. 20 years ago, I was a 3-pack-a-day smoker, and I just woke up, and I had a bad incident at a hospital where they told me I had the lungs of a 70-year-old man with an 85% chance of getting emphysema. I was 30-something at the time, and that was walked out of there and never smoked again. So sure. I know I have the ability to battle those addictions, but sugar is a rough one. If I get something that's got a little sugar in it I didn't expect, it could take me a good day or two to get that out of my mind and get back on track again.
Sure.
So that's kind of your body is better at switching back and forth once you're in this adapted state, what we call fat adapted, and you can handle those upsets every once in a while. Because if you think about it, fruit, right? It's fructose, it's glucose, it's that sugar, and we do well on it. And unfortunately, we store those calories as fat almost immediately. The liver sees this, fructose comes in, and it goes, great, that's an energy source, and it just stores it at fat because we didn't see fruit all the time. It wasn't available all the time. So you would see it seasonally. It would be available a couple times a day in your travels that you'd come across it. You would eat it and you would store it. You'd have that energy when you were later on. So we can deal with those sugar bumps occasionally here and there. We just can't. It's not good all the time.
Sure. Yeah.
So we do have the mechanisms for that.
Yeah. And your body, my body just is quite intuitive now. I know if something strayed into my diet, like wheat, I get sort of a little bit of eczema on my fingers. And I know the other night I had some fish, but it was breaded fish, and I thought it was gluten free, but looking at the when I ate it, I looked at the packet, said, "Oh no!" And then 2 hours later, what do I get? A little rash on my fingers.
Right.
You get your body, you know, does tell you, you know, if this is good, if it's bad, and you just got to get in tuned with that.
And even if it wasn't gluten-free, there'd still be another plant protein in there that could cause that reaction.
Sure.
Plants have hundreds of different proteins. Gluten's just one of them, right?
Yep,
so all those phytochemicals can cause those reactions. And especially once you've removed yourself from them for a long, long time, they'll come back a whole lot quicker and you'll notice them. One of the things I've noticed over my journey is foods that I used to be able to eat all the time that I never had an issue with, now I have an issue with. So the kind of thinking along that is that I was in such an inflamed state previously with all the other stuff that I had going on that my body didn't even, it was a minor reaction compared to all the other stuff that was going on. So now that I'm in a cleaner state and I don't eat these other things, when those things do show up, I have a problem.
Yeah, sure.
So like, not all shellfish, but shrimp, I'll immediately, within a few hours, you mentioned eczema on your fingers. I actually get dandruff, especially around my forehead when I have food allergies, is where I notice it.
Yep.
And it comes on rather quickly. So it's just I'm a lot more in tune now with the types of food I am. And it's the same thing as if I eat something and there was a sauce on it I didn't expect to be there, I'll know relatively quick if there was something in there. I just won't feel right. My energies will levels will drop. So it's kind of easy to know if I've been drugged, as I call it.
Sure. Sure. And you also mentioned that you do the well-being in terms of food and fitness, but what about mental well-being? How do you promote that?
That is big. I do encourage people to meditate. There's a lot of great different programs out there that people can get on their phones and their apps, and they can do guided meditation with that, as long as YouTube videos and stuff like that. Stress reduction, stress relief is one of the biggest ones. Same thing, one of my stories is through my keto journey, while eating a clean ketogenic diet, I wasn't tracking and all that type of stuff, but I was eating ketogenic foods. I still managed to actually gain almost 45 pounds in a 6-month period. And that was just because of a job I had and the stress and the hours and the lack of sleep I was getting. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that at the time, but it was when I had left that job and I had a month downtime before the new one, I literally dropped 35 pounds in a month. And the only thing that had changed when I go back and look at my food logs was I wasn't working there anymore. And it was all those stress levels.
Sure.
And I have this background in massage therapy, so I should know better and I should know stress and cortisol and the damage it's doing to your body. So I incorporate those things back in. And there's a lot of different self-massage type of things that you can do to not only alleviate soreness, but just get yourself into a better state of being. That's actually something that a project that I've got coming up soon is I'm looking at putting out a book around starting a ketogenic diet, but it's not just going to talk about the diet, because to me, the diet is actually very simple. Here's the list of foods, eat off it, make your meals, whatever.
Yep.
It's going to deal with the mindsets around it. Why are we eating? Our relationships with foods. But I also want to include a section on very, very basic body weight movements, progressive calisthenics that you can do, and a section on self-massage therapy that you can do to remove that stress.
Amazing.
And sleep. I cannot stress enough how important sleep is.
Oh,
and the
yes.
quality of sleep, and making sure you're getting all the electronics turned off before you sleep, and just getting into a sleep ritual that you prepare yourself for. And that's another huge one. And a lot of times I'll work with people and I'll talk to them about sleep and they look at me like I'm crazy. But after 3 or 4 days of trying my suggestions, which can seem off the wall, like turn your Wi-Fi router off at night, get your phone out of your room,
yeah.
you know, turn off all the electrics, just go by candlelight for a half hour before you go to bed. It sounds crazy with our society the way it is today, but you need to make it a ritual and you need to make it part of your daily practices, and the sleep gets better. And they start to notice other things that are getting better. The last month or so, my coaching has kind of not only shifted from the new person getting into this, but more so working with other coaches that are having problems and having stalls, and where they're quite capable of getting results for the people that they're helping, they're not getting their own results anymore.
Okay.
And troubleshooting that and getting to some of those more advanced things. And the first thing I go after is sleep and stress reduction.
Amazing.
You know, there's there's nothing more powerful than taking a bathtub, making the water as hot as you possibly can, putting two cups of Epsom salt in it, a cup of baking soda in it, a couple drops of lavender oil, turning on a candle, getting rid of all the electronics, and soak for 20 minutes. That actually comes from hydrotherapy for torn muscles and sore muscles, because the magnesium and the Epsom salt helps pull all the toxins out of the body, but it also puts magnesium back into your body. And the relaxation you get, it's a perfect prep before bed, and it makes a huge amount of difference.
I bet it does, because we've got a bath in the house, and I don't think I've had I don't want to sound a smelly person, but I haven't had a bath for about 4 years because I'm always showering every morning. Right. But that's a great, as I say, we've got a hot tub, but that's how I meditate as well. I may put the headphones on, and I'll do a meditation. One, our first guest, Jack Black, who was runs mindstore.com, he's got an app with a lot of guided meditations. And I originally started using that for business, for creativity, because we run a creative agency. But it's more now of focusing my life. And I do a lot of, I even journal my sleep now. I journal it in, and I write down in the morning if I can remember anything of any dreams or anything like that. But also, I've started a gratitude part of it as well, and that's just, you know, it's improved. And one of, you know, and my goals, until not necessarily business goals, were things like setting up a podcast, and you know, 6 weeks ago I wouldn't have dreamt of doing, but I wrote it down. And I just did a bit of research, asked some guests, and I was quite cheeky. Like, I quite cheekily asked you, Charles, to see if you'd like to come on. And I'm getting responses from people who I admire and follow. And I think, if you don't ask, you won't get. So you've got to put it. You've got to put it out there. And again, the relaxation, the sleep. Over here, there's a guy called Dr. Rangan Chatterjee, who's got a new book out. On it's all about stress, but it is what, there's one out of the four sections, one of them is specifically on sleep.
So, no, yeah. definitely good stuff. The app that I kind of usually push people towards is called Headspace. Once again, yes, guided meditations. Yeah. It's a really good app out there. Can't say enough about sleep and de-stressing. And I mean, not everybody can afford a massage, right? It's sure. Can be an expensive luxury, but if you can go once a month, great. An alternative to that is find a local school that has a clinic, because they have to have so many hours of working on people before they can get their licensure.
That's
so
right.
You can go to a clinic for, I think the clinic when I was in school, they were charging $30 for the hour massage, mm-hmm. right? So you're getting people that are going through school, so it's a little bit of a learning curve, but you're still getting the benefits from it, right?
Yeah.
So there are ways around it. So,
you know, and you know, if you've got a better half, there's no harm in just getting some essential oils and just trying it out yourself, you know.
You're so right. There's a lot of great books out there that can teach you those type of skill sets. I mean, you don't necessarily need to get crazy with all of the medical and the sports side of it to see benefits. You know, there's just a lot of the long fluid strokes along the muscle bellies and stuff like that can really have some amazing stress relief. The Swedish style of massage, more so than the other ones.
Amazing. Now it comes to the point of the show where I ask my guests now, what book are you reading? And it doesn't have to be keto related at the moment.
I'm still currently taking college classes, so I'm actually reading a textbook called Fundamentals of Management.
Okay.
I've got three classes left to finish up a bachelor's in project management, so I'm in the midst of that right now.
Oh, good luck to that one, yeah. I did a one a few years ago on management itself. You know, I've been running my own business for years, but had the opportunity of actually getting a qualification in it. So, but it does take you out of it, and reading the old textbooks, which I used to read in college years ago, I thought, I remember this, but it's gone so far ahead now.
And that field alone, everything changes so fast. I remember a course I'd taken 5 or 6 years ago in management, and one of the motivational theories they talked about, this new book is completely saying, yeah, that's old news. We don't deal with that anymore. It proved ineffective. And I can remember that book from whatever, 6 years ago, and how this was the greatest thing and how it worked to motivate people, and just it changed so fast, right?
Yeah, and funny enough, on about DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, DDP, a lot of his quotes come from books that I've read years ago, like Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, which is probably a self-help rather than a business book, but it's ideas from business people from the 1900s, 1910s, 20s. And right. I always go back to that. I read it once a year. It's a bit like Lord of the Rings over here in the UK. You got to read something like that once a year. So that's my go-to book. And
another good one for a reread is Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Covey.
Covey, yeah.
And especially when he gets into the circles of control, usually it talks about a business sense. And that theory actually goes back to the Stoics. So it holds true. And I actually use a lot of that with my clients with the, you've got the three circles in your life. You've got concern, influence, and control. And chances are you're putting 85, 90% of your energy and thought into things that you cannot make any impact on at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So changing that mindset. And that's kind of where that came through. And then I adopted that to work in the home and coaching realm as opposed just from the business realm.
Yeah. And funny enough, again, back to DDP, his motto in one of the chapters is you live 90% of your life because you can't deal with the 10% because it's outside factors. But if you can improve from within, you know, and absorb, you know, positive ideas and things like that, then yeah, you're on the right road, I think. So, but Stephen Covey, again, one of my, again, when I met, when I started the Mindstore process, Jack Black had a lot of things like Stephen Covey, Dale Carnegie, those sort of self-help gurus, as well as your archetypal Tony Robbins, which
I loved him.
Yeah, which apparently he's got. There's another podcaster and blogger out there, and a doctor. He's over in Tampa called Dr. Ryan Lowry. Now he's Anthony Robbins clinician when he does the live events. He's the guy who monitors his heart and things like that. And Ryan Lowry is a promoter of the ketogenic low carb.
Yes.
And he's trying to get Anthony Robbins on it because at the moment he burns something like 2000 calories within a presentation, and he comes off stage every 15 minutes and he gorges himself on gummy bears. And just to get that hit. And no wonder he's that excitable. But I think Ryan is now sort of approaching the Anthony Robbins Foundation to say, give this a go, because you've got at least 40,000 calories in stored body fat that you can just go on forever.
Right. And that's something that kind of amazes people when you break it down. And if you know your body fat percentage and you can very easily calculate how many pounds of fat you have on, your body is able to metabolize. It's anywhere between 30 and 35 calories a day per pound of body fat on you.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why once you get fat adapted, you find that you're not hungry anymore because that's your body knows where the energy is. It doesn't have to send off a hunger signal because it knows where to go find the energy it needs. And that's why people are doing so well with the intermittent fasting and the extended fasting, because most of the people that are in that high obese state, they easily have 3,000 to 4,000 calories of storage they can pull from before their body has to start looking for calories elsewhere.
Exactly, yeah. And once that's adapted, it's happy days for them, really, isn't it? And
yes.
And that's where you see the dramatic, you know, a year ago I was looked like this, and you know, you see a lot on social media now, which I think is again it's brilliant, and it shows people that if a little guy from Wales can do it, then anybody can. So
yeah, I've got one of those pictures up on my website. It shows like 125 pound weight loss over 18 months or so.
Yeah.
So, and I've still got another 60 to go. I'm still a work in progress. I'm out here and I'm doing this every day, and I have my stalls and I have my ups and downs and stuff like that. But it's just, I know it works. So why go back to something that doesn't work?
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
The alternative is to go back to the standard American diet, which unfortunately has influenced the rest of the world.
Exactly. It's influenced the UK.
We know it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right. So why would I even go back there? And we mentioned the Noakes Foundation, and he started with the Banting diet. And in that original letter on corpulence by William Banting, what was that, 1880 or something like that, mortician that came out with that.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's been around forever. It's been, it's been known about for a long time.
Yeah. And he's got, it's the book that I can use to keep the door stopped. Called the Law of Nutrition. It's massive. And it's basically, a lot of it's about his court case because he got sort of put on the
I followed a lot of that. It was kind of, it was amazing.
It was. And there is, if anybody's got the chance, look on YouTube or dietdoctor.com. There's a documentary about the whole scenario about, and he won the case. He was the standard South African diet or American diet or UK was sort of disproved by the in some ways by the medical people.
And then part of the other things that came out of that is since he had done his research underneath the university he was employed by, they couldn't hide that information. Because that would make them liable if anything legally, if something did come from that, right?
Yeah.
So they kind of put them in a situation where they couldn't deny these facts. So they had to attack him personally, unfortunately. The same thing down in Australia with Dr. Fetke, if I believe, right?
Yep.
He's going through that same type of thing down there. And he's like, I'm tired of cutting off limbs that I don't have to here. Why don't we try to get you to a state where we don't have to do this first, right? And immediately the Dietitian Society just got all up in arms.
Yeah, and there's that quote from Christian Barnard who did the first heart transplant in the 60s. He said, I've saved 500 lives, but I could have prevented 50,000.
Wow.
By just cutting out things and advising what, I don't know, the what everybody mentions, Ansel Keys or that American diet could, if only hindsight was available or time travel, right. we'd be all athletes by now, Charles.
And that's really what it comes down to, though, is the information's out there and trying to get it to the masses and trying to get people to understand it and ignore the media, because the media doesn't really promote news anymore. It doesn't report facts anymore. It's all based by who's paying for the ad time and the agenda they want to push. Prime example, a week ago Tuesday, I had a wrist surgery done from a fall I had sustained, and they had to go and attach some tendons between two of the bones up in my wrist. And I went back Monday for my follow-up with the surgeon, and he's like, wow, the inflammation is a lot better than I expected to see, and this is healing a lot faster than I expected it to see. And in the back of my head, it's like, well, because I've been fasting and I'm doing ketogenic diet for the last 2 or 3 years, my body's not in an inflamed state. It's able to resurface. It's able to send the energy that it needs to heal the damage because it's not working on other things that are a problem right now.
Sure. It's amazing stories that we hear. And I think my philosophy as well, if I can help one person, you know, just get out of a diabetic state or just be able to fit in those size 30 waist jeans, I have done my job. Or if I can do it, anybody can. That's my
And those stories are out there. I mean, in my own coaching experience, since June will be a year that I actually officially started coaching, I've worked with people with thyroid conditions. I've worked with people with PCOS. I've worked with people with Hashimoto's. I've worked with diabetics. And all of them, in a relatively short amount of time, were able to start reversing those symptoms. I don't want to say they're cured, but they were actually able to reduce medicines, get off medicines, no longer see issues that are normally associated with those conditions.
Yep.
It's really empowering, and it's amazing to see that, you know. And some of these people, I mean, I go hardcore with somebody like the one woman. She came to me. She's had the thyroid issues, and she had the Hashimoto's. And I said, we're going to go strict carnivore for a month. And you're going to hate me, and it's going to be very bland, and it's going to be very boring, but you are going to see results. And she dived into it. So all she ate was ground beef and eggs for a month. And it was miraculous to watch all of her numbers and her medical positions get better. And the doctor she was working with was like, wow, this is pretty impressive. And then she decided that she wanted to have a tomato, but she had a garden. And within 30 minutes, she started feeling swollen. With the next morning, her eczema was back and the rashes were back. And, you know, so it's that fast that these things can get in there and play with you.
Yeah, it's the old computer adage, garbage in, garbage out.
Definitely.
Yeah. Now, I always, again, I'm doing a standard question for everybody now. What's your go-to food when you're, one, hungry, and two, when you're entertaining people?
Beef.
Beef.
Steak, ribeye. Yeah. I'm a big fan of the chuck roast because it's sort of like the poor man's ribeye.
Sure.
I actually buy local beef. I just bought a half a share of a cow. It was delivered a couple weeks ago, so that'll last me 6 or 7 months without a problem. I would say March will be a year that I've actually moved from a ketogenic diet to a strict carnivore diet.
Sure.
So I've probably had plant life maybe 5 times in the last year.
Yeah.
And once again, is my body does not do well with plant life anymore. I don't have the biome in my gut. I don't have any of that stuff that can manage that stuff, and it makes me sick when I do it.
Okay.
So that pleasure pain thing, right? The pleasure of eating it just definitely wasn't worth the pain I felt the next day. But so I always go for steak and nice cuts of steak and grilled and stuff like that. And lately I've actually naturally, I find I crave my meat raw, which is kind of weird for me. I've always been a rare Pittsburgh type of person
sure.
with when I eat, but now I'm finding that I just want it raw.
Just blue.
And I'm also, yep, steak tartare, let's have it that way, you know. And since I know the source of my beef, I'm more than happy to eat it that way. I'm not worried about processing plants and all these other things. I know where it came from. I know the quality of what the gentleman's producing. He's got happy cows running around his field there. You can tell that the herd's being taken care of. So I don't have a problem taking something in the freezer, thawing it in the fridge, and then just chowing into it.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
And then the comfort food has got to be ice cream. And there are some amazing ice cream recipes out there that you can make at home that are completely keto and friendly. And you had mentioned Carrie Brown. Her book, The Ice Cream Scoop, is amazing. I have yet to make one out of that book that wasn't better than a Haagen-Dazs.
Yeah, well, we've just invested in a tall fridge, an extra freezer, and I think the next thing that Mr. Amazon is going to bring me is an ice cream maker.
Yeah, it's definitely worth the investment. It can be expensive to make it. It's a lot more money than going to the store, but it's so much better and worth it for you.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm looking at a 7 cubic foot freezer in my living room, so I didn't have any else to put it. Right.
So brilliant. No, you're right there. And again, another thing that I've found is the stigma against the fact that when you say people, I eat lots of fat and meat and things like that, it's not lots of either, because we eat to satiety. So
yes.
My grocery bills, although it looks, you know, that has actually come down, but the quality of food has gone up.
Definitely. And I can honestly say back when I was trying everything 5, 6, 7 years ago, I was doing the eating 4,000 or 5,000 calories a day, working out at the gym an hour a day, eating the 6 small meals, and I was always hungry.
Yep.
I was gaining weight and I was miserable and I was still always hungry. Where on an average day now, I may actually consume anywhere between 1,200 to 1,800 calories of actual food, right?
Yep.
The rest of it's obviously coming off my body fat stores, but that's all I'm hungry for. I don't really get hungry that much more anymore.
Oh, that's brilliant. Now, I want to finish the interview with just mentioning how we get hold of you, Charles, in terms of social media, website, podcasts.
Okay, so I'm on Instagram at Living Primal Keto.
Yeah.
Charles Hiller Jr. is my Facebook, and I've also got a Facebook business page called Living Primal Keto. I'm on Twitter at Primal Keto. I'm pretty much social media. If you search Living Primal Keto or Primal Keto, I'll come up. And then also I've got my website, livingprimalketo.com.
And I believe you can download and buy a cookbook from there as well, I noticed.
Yes. A bunch of other coaches and myself back during November, we all got together and collaborated, and we created a book called 50 keto foods or 50 keto dishes for the foodie. It's a lot of really good recipes. It's everybody's favorite recipes. We got it together. It's actually doing really well. We're getting a lot of good comments on it, and it was a fun experience putting that together. But yeah, there's a digital version of that you could order for a download from my website, or you could contact me directly if you wanted to have a physical copy.
Brilliant. And finally, I want to really thank you for coming on the show. It's my fourth show, and I hope I treated you well, and
Definitely.
And the guys over in here in the UK and Ireland, we just need to be inspired by people like yourselves. There's more, obviously, British people trying to get on the show, including doctors and things like that who have promised to come on as well. But again, thanks, Charles Hiller from Living Primal Keto. And hopefully one day I'll be on one of your podcasts.
Awesome. I've definitely got a couple ideas for podcasts that I'm hoping to get out there. The one that I'm most excited about, to be honest with you, is I want to create a podcast just for the average person doing the diet.
Yeah.
Because there's 101 podcasts out there that have all the specialists and have all the different takes on it, but there's really no place for somebody to go to celebrate their journey. And sure, that's kind of what I want to offer.
Yeah, I think I'll probably get I'm going to hunt some people down that are on the UK groups and forums who have gone through the journey and get them on, because they're real people like you and me. So
that's the best thing. And that's another thing about this community. I like to call it a community. Yeah. Is everybody is so positive, and there's not a lot of negativity in this community. So I go to these different conferences, whether it's a festival and it's fun or it's an actual conference, and everybody is so cool and so awesome and has a great story. And it's like everybody leaves their ego at the door. And it's just that I love this community for that. It's you don't really have a lot of the negativity floating around in it, and everybody wants to share and everybody wants to help. And it's such an altruistic community that it's really inspiring and amazing.
Oh, that's brilliant. Well, you've been listening to Keto Happiness with me, Rob Saunders, and my guest, Charles Hiller, and we'll see you all next time.